Welcome to the Parent Equation Culture Shift podcast with me, Aisha Murray.
And me, Elliot Ray, from Music Football Fatherhood.
This podcast is all about celebrating the amazing work being undertaken by staff networks across the country. Individuals dedicated to supporting their fellow working parents alongside their day jobs.
Networks who not only offer guidance and inspiration within their own organisations, but are at the forefront of driving real change and a systemic culture shift.
So whether you already run a network or are thinking about starting one, each episode will give you the inspiration and tools you need to get started. So today I'm joined by Tim Soper from Aon. I am flying solo today, so just me and Tim on the call. But welcome, Tim. Thanks for being here today.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Tim, you are the chair or the co-chair of the Parents Network at Aon?
Well, neither, actually. I was kind of a third co-chair last year, specifically co-chaired the Dads at Aon Network, which is a subgroup of the Parents and Carers Network. So worked closely with the co-chairs of the Parents and Carers Network and still do this year. So have spoken to them before I came on this call because I want to hear their views about how it feels to run a network alongside their day job. So just so it's not just my view, it's other people's as well.
Okay, great. Because we've talked to other companies on this podcast around this sub, how the main parents and carers network may start, mm-hmm. and then these subgroups do come off that main one, mm-hmm. which obviously is great because it shows that the need is there and the voices are there to be heard. So how did you get involved with the Dads Network then? So where did that journey start for you?
Right. So that would have been in 2021. So year before last, I had a long period of depression, actually. So I've told that story lots of times. My daughter stopped talking to me and it went on for a year and a half in the end. But it was a good few months into that and I was doing a phased return to work. And I did a lot of talking, like as a dad, to colleagues. About how I was feeling, et cetera, et cetera. And they just, because I'd spoken about my story as a dad so much to colleagues and they were so supportive, I got contacted by the co-chair of the Parents and Carers Network at the time saying, Tim, we've got this group called Dads at Aon, which has been not very active for a long time and probably could do with a new co-chair. Would you be interested? Yeah. Absolutely, was like definitely. And so I took that kind of ball by the horns and straight away everything I was saying openly and honestly up to my colleagues about my experience as a dad, I just started saying in there. And as a co-chair, that was almost like role modeling, open conversation and role modeling, being open about how you feel. And it snowballed from there. And other people start doing the same. So yeah. I mean, that's a long answer to a short question, but
no, good answer.
Yeah.
So how did it go then from what sounds like a quite organic start and conversations and that sort of safe space to talk into what I'm assuming is now a more, I suppose, is it more structured network nowadays?
It's much bigger now. So it started off at 40 people and it's probably over 130 now. So it's grown a lot in that time. Still plenty of scope to grow more. When I was co-chair of it last year for 12 months, well, just over 12 months, you could call it 15 months, really, just started before 2022 and then through the whole of 2022. I then tried to give it some structure by picking topics to cover in coffee mornings. So we would do things like postnatal depression in men, anything you can think of. Shared parental leave, we did one by, we had a mum and a dad doing a kind of panel discussion about the kind of their experience of shared parental leave from either side of the fence, from the mum's side and the dad's side. And that was interesting for the dads to hear, and also interesting for the dads to hear from the perspective of, this might sound like a scary complicated policy, but actually here's how you do it and here's how it works in practice, sort of thing. So we tried to give it a bit of structure with some topics to talk about. The awards, we entered the Working Dad's Employer Awards as we started to grow, and it became more successful that way. So that then also gave it another, I guess, injection of pace in its growth, publicity, because you know, as soon as you win an award and you shout about good practice, I think it puts a bit of pressure on the business to live up to its name even more. So yeah, I think that's probably in a nutshell kind of where we took it last year, and it kind of where it continues to be now.
Mm-hmm. And I'm channeling Elliot here. I'm going to mention the word governance because I know he'd ask this question.
Yeah.
From a governance point of view, then, as you've got more structure, do you have a sort of formalized committee where the decisions are made, and how does that work with executive sponsorship or kind of senior management influence? Well,
the Parents and Carers Network's always had senior sponsorship. Mm. So there is someone on the exec committee that sponsors each one of what we call our business resource groups, which is Parents and Carers is one of them, mental health is another one, LGBTQ+ is another one, etc. Each of those, the E&I strands, if you like, have an executive sponsor. So we have one, and he is featured in the video that is the follow-up to us winning the awards last year. So he's actually on it, so he's speaking. I think just having that named individual against the network gives it immediately some credibility when people are talking about, can I do something to do with the Parents Network?
Yeah.
And in terms of governance, when you're on the committee, as I still am, although not co-chair, I'm on the committee, you get kind of hours allowance in your day job at Aon. So we, certainly in my part of Aon, we have to do a certain number of hours that is chargeable to clients each year. And they let me take some of that time out to do stuff which isn't going to be charged to clients, but does help all of our colleagues and probably our clients at some point, because happier people are probably better, more productive people.
Well, exactly. I think that's also a lot of these conversations are the impact that these committees and these networks are having on their people. Obviously has a beneficial, positive effect, much, much broader reaching than just in those events or in the conversations they're having.
Yeah, yeah.
And perhaps it's not to be underestimated, actually, the power that these networks have.
Absolutely. Well, look at me, for example. I was off work for months. But phased return, the network. I did a personal podcast about my story, by the way, and I did say the Dads at Aon Network was a huge part of my recovery. So, yes, Aon have benefited hugely from my recovery in that respect and the support they gave me in the output that I'm now producing for them, which is amazing, really,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And how closely then do you, as a subgroup, I don't like using the word subgroup, it makes me feel like it's less important, which obviously it's not at all. So as a strand, I suppose, of the Parents and Carers Network, do you get involved, as a committee, in things to do with the sort of more, I suppose, transactional part of the business, like the HR policies and the conversations around those kind of things?
Yeah, so we do get a seat at the table when those sorts of things are discussed, which is good because we get to feed into those conversations. I wouldn't say we get a seat at the table every single time, but it certainly does exist that we have. And we have recently at Aon changed our, it's no secret, we've changed our policies. So we've enhanced our paternity leave for dads, and we've greatly enhanced our shared parental leave policy. So those things were massively influenced, I think, by the input from the Parents and Carers Network in those discussions, because ultimately these business resource groups are a voice to the executive of the needs of these people, as well as the kind of a day-to-day peer support thing. So yeah
and you've referenced already there a couple of times the Working Dads Awards that you entered and won last year, or won the categories for. And obviously, as part of that, there were other organisations there as well, including the John Lewis Partnership, etc. Mm-hmm. Do you find that then, as a network within Aon, you have the ability to, I suppose, get involved with networks outside of Aon in order to learn, to inspire, to connect with other networks?
Yeah, well, part of having hours to spend is that you can do that in those hours. You choose how you use those hours. And you choose if you want to do more hours. You know, you can do more hours. You just only get a certain allowance towards your time for the year from Aon. They're not restricted, not saying you can only spend that amount of time. So if you've got connections that you want to spend your parents and carers hours talking to someone in a different company, as I did last year, I had many calls, especially after the awards, from people that wanted to learn about how to set up a dad's network. So I spoke to John Lewis. I spoke to Ernst & Young. I've spoke to lots of different people that want to know how to do it. How do I do that? And currently there's something slightly different, which is that the hours that Aon give me now is to support the Insurance Families Network. So I co-chair the Insurance Families Network, which is essentially an insurance industry wide network to support parents and carers. So that's my hours allowance from Aon this year, whilst remaining on the Parents and Carers Committee. And definitely as part of that role, I'm definitely talking to other companies about what they're doing, including a really good event that we did in February this year with an organization called From Babies With Love. And they produce what's called a cutting edge guide to parental policies and practice. So you can Google that and you'll find that the guide there, which we inputted to, and we sat on a panel with Aon, Sony Music and William Hill talking about their policies. Yeah. So talking about their policies and practices that they do. I think it was Sony, and I'm trying to get this right, but forgive me if I don't. I think it was Sony that had a it was William Hill that had a neonatal leave policy. So like me, my daughter was born 2 months premature. They can, and again, forgive me if I get the details wrong, but I think new parents that have a premature baby can have the entire time off full paid whilst their child is still in hospital before the due date. So that's amazing. Sony, can't remember what their fantastic policy was, but you have to go and look it up. But anyway, the events, again, I think it's a result of the awards that we're invited to present, be on the panel at these kind of events and listen to what other companies are doing that are brilliant for parents.
Yeah, because one of my questions was going to be, for those, so you've spoken to other companies about starting a dad's network, for those listening who are still at the beginning stages, what would the steps be? Now, part of that, you're saying, obviously, is just the PR of this, the visibility of your network is helping you have those conversations with diverse, you know, diverse range of industries, not just insurance. So what would your first steps be for someone who thinks there's a real need for a network, a dad's network or parents and carers network in their company, but aren't sure where to start?
Well, that's a good question. And I always give the same answer, but I'm not the gospel truth on this. This is just an opinion. But most companies these days, at least in financial services or office-based companies, I don't know, maybe some kind of more practical jobs like building firms have something similar, but they have some kind of group conversation or way of communicating, like a Teams setup, Microsoft Teams, or if you're, I don't know, in a building firm, you might have WhatsApp or something like that. All you do is set the group up in there and publicize the fact that it's available, put a few people in, publicize that it's there and start talking in it. And say, this is a way for us to share common experiences and support each other. Someone once said to me, Tim, you can speak to as many counselors as you like, and they are good what they do. There's nothing quite like speaking to someone in the same situation as yourself or has been through something similar. So that's almost what I would say in my publicity email, what I just said then. That's like, I would literally write that. We care about our staff. There's nothing quite like talking to someone else in the same situation. So we're setting up this network. It's in WhatsApp or Teams. Join the space. You don't have to use it all the time. You don't ever have to respond. It's not compulsory, but if you're in there, you might see something that you might be able to help someone else with, and you might want to share something and get some help.
I think that's the thing, it's about normalizing, isn't it? Normalizing everything that parents are going through, regardless of the situation or scenario.
Hmm.
where it's not transactional. It's not just sort of policy based, or, you know, it's real. It's real life. It's real stories.
Yeah. And once it's started like that, you can listen to what people need and you can ask questions about what people need. Do you think it would be useful to have an intranet site for parents and carers where we can store stuff? Yes. Okay. Then we'll see if we can get that done. Might be good if we have some executive sponsorship for this group. What do you think? Yeah, that's good. We'll go and speak to the exec team, see if we can get someone's name put to it, and it will kind of grow from there. But I just think there's nothing to stop anyone setting a chat up. So
small steps. I think one of the barriers that we've been hearing as well, potential barriers for people who might be wanting to set it up or get involved, is this feeling like it might be a colossal impact on their time. And again, I've been hearing through these conversations, so I'd be interested to get your view on this, is again, there's no expectation. It's not a sort of, you can drop in and drop out. You can come in, you can lean in as much as you need to, depending on what you need. It doesn't have to be a full-time commitment from anybody, actually, because everyone is managing this alongside their jobs and families and things.
Yeah. And it can go silent for a long time. And not saying that dads at Aon does, but or parents and carers at Aon does, but it could do in theory, and a company just go silent for a long time and then someone could remember it's there and pick it up again. That's not wrong. That's fine. Yes, if one person is proactive and doing everything and trying to grow 10 different ideas, like create an intranet site, enter some awards, do this on LinkedIn, that on LinkedIn, network. If someone's putting it on themselves to take all of that on their own shoulders on their own, then it would be quite draining. And to be honest, that was one of the pitfalls I fell into at the start of last year, was doing so much on my own. And someone had to kind of grab my shoulders and say, Tim, you work for a big company here. You've got the support of the comms team. You've got the support of other people on the committee. You can spread the load a little bit. So I think, to drive it forward with a bit of purpose, I think you would want a handful of people and spread things between those handful of people at least to start with. I say handful because it probably makes decisions a bit easier. But like you say, if you didn't have that and no one was driving it forward and it went silent, you know, you did a few weeks of conversation, it went silent for a year and then took off, you still set it up in the first place, and that wouldn't have then taken off in a year's time had you not done that.
Yeah, wise words. What are you most proud of as part of that dads network?
I'd have to say accepting the award in Parliament was a big deal. I think, but really my pride isn't accepting the award. Like, when I think about what I'm proud of, I once did an event on International Men's Day, and there were kind of 300 people in the audience. It was International Men's Day in 2021, about mental health, and I was talking about connections with male friends as a form of support and a healthy thing to have as a man. 300 odd people in the audience, and one person connected with me afterwards. Well, more than one, actually, but one in particular I'll never forget. Won't go into the detail of what they said, but I know for a fact I helped that one person. So I think what I'm trying to say is, what am I most proud of? I know in the last 18 months to 2 years, I've helped, or Dads at Aon, the group, has helped, I don't know, tens, hundreds of people. And I think, and that's the real pride, knowing the impact you've had on at least one person's life. The awards are nice, but when I'm saying I'm proud to collect an award, what I'm really proud about is to be able to shout about it in front of a lot of people, and hopefully they can do the same thing. So I'm proud about, I think, the impact that hopefully I've had on men and dads in and out of Aon in the last 18 months, which I think it has.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, as you say, as you said before, it's that ripple effect, you know, just helping, adding value just one person will create a ripple effect beyond that one person. So it's feeling confident that everything you're doing is ultimately having a lot more value than it may even seem like when you're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then from a practical point of view, things like, because running these networks, apart from time, your time, other people's time, potentially could involve money, depending on what you want to do with these networks and what events you want to put on. Do you get any budget for this kind of thing? Do you have to, I suppose, pitch for budget? How does it work?
Yeah, so we do have, so we get a standard, I think at Aon it might be a few thousand or something like that, of that order of magnitude of money each year to do what we want to make a plan and use. That could be charity donations, it could be running events, it could be anything really that's helpful for parents and carers or to send a message. We did a Supporting Working Dads event at the start of in April 2022. We recorded it. It's online. It's going to be released again soon on the Insurance Families Network website. But that event, Elliot Ray took part in and hosted. And so, you know, Elliot costed money. And so we, I think, managed to team up with the Insurance Families Network for that particular event. But Aon would pay for the room and, you know, host the room, host the event and things. So they're quite happy to do hosting of things on top of the pot of money. And we've always got the opportunity to pitch for more if we need it. So, yeah.
So what do you think makes a successful event in the sense of getting, I suppose, not just the running the event, obviously, but getting the interest from, especially maybe more from the dads in Aon, but getting the interest, getting the word out there. I think because you've run a few, are there any kind of creative ways of getting more visibility? And also, as you've alluded to, hybrid working, et cetera.
Yeah.
How to make sure that the most people can access this kind of thing, even if they're not necessarily in an office with access to a laptop or face-to-face.
My top tips, having done a few events and also seeing the kind of aftermath after the event, is that you need an engaging event which probably lasts half an hour to an hour, so that people are engaged on the day. You then need a good follow-up plan of, we did this. You need to record it, I think, because people might not have been able to make it on the day, and it's a permanent resource if you record it. So get people's permission and record it. Top tip, if it's like half an hour or an hour long, that might put people off listening to it. So what we've tried to do, I haven't released it yet, but what we are going to try to do with that Supporting Working Dads event is almost chapterize it and chop it up into videos that are maybe 2 or 3 minutes long, where the discussion focused on a particular topic as part of the wider thing. So that, I think, sort of a bite-sized follow-up. We did this event on this day, and here's 3 minutes on this that is impactful. I think that's probably what I would say for events is, yeah, record them and share them well afterwards. And if you can make them bite-sized, do that.
Yeah. And what do you think where do you think the future of the Dads Network goes? What are your aspirations for how it grows and evolves?
We've got 5,000 employees, so I know 130 is a lot more than we started with at 40, but it's nowhere near the number of dads or allies of dads, because it's not just for dads.
Yeah.
Dads or allies of dads in the business could be more. So I just want to see this snowball continue to grow. We, after the awards, we got some feedback last year on what we could do better to, and some of that was on publicity. So we've seen in the kitchens here in the offices now, they've got screens and they put things up on the screens, like an advertising board. And we had a parent, have you heard about the Parents and Carers Network, and had a QR code that you could scan on your phone and it would take you straight to the thing. So I'd like to see it grow through additional publicity. To be honest, in terms of what Dads at Aon is, I'm not really sure it can get any better than it is, because it's so open in there. One thing we have looked into, and I'd like to see grow, is not just the Teams aspect, but some in-person. So maybe a sort of dad mentoring scheme. So let's say you have, let's say you've got a bunch of dads in your business that are dads of 5 and 6 year olds, or dads of 9, 10, 11 year olds, or even dads of teenagers. And then you've got another group who are just about to become dads or brand new dads. Could they be paired up with a longer in the tooth dad or a more experienced dad for some face to face? Because a lot of the feedback we get is, could we have some more face to face, and could it be less group and more one on one? So okay, I wouldn't so mind
more,
seeing that.
Yeah, more of a coaching, almost like a coaching.
Yeah.
Mentoring, I think, space.
Yeah. And that might be a space, or it might just be you're paired up and then you've got an individual chat with that person. But the Dads at Aon group still exists as a group, and events and coffee mornings still happens in groups and virtually. But could you get something more in person at local office level going, even if it's like a dad drink on a Friday afternoon, or for a group of dads, like anything a bit more in person, I think would be good.
Yeah. And then with regards to, you talked about obviously the parents and carers network being separate, well, linked obviously, but except for the dads network.
No, so the dads network is inside the parents and carers network. So the team space is called parents and carers network. And then within the team's space, you can have mini spaces, if you like. So there's one for new parents. There's one for dads at Aon. There's one for neurodiversity, so parents of children with kind of ADHD, except and that sort of thing, all the things that would put you in a common interest group, really. And if we notice a pool of people discussing a certain issue, then we suggest having a specific space for that issue. Dads is obviously a natural one, because dads exist everywhere and always when it comes to being a parent. So it's made sense to just have a dads at Aon. There isn't a mums at Aon chat, but maybe there should be. But it was, I think the feeling was, or to set the assumption, you shouldn't assume, that mums would be chat active in the parents and carers general discussion group anyway. So if you like, that would largely be a mums group, although everyone's in it. But the dads at Aon, I think just the label it gave it more of a permission for dads to talk in that space, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's an assumption, but I think it's probably the right assumption that, and again, I'm sort of trying to think what Elliot would say here, is that it's probably more of a barrier for the dads to feel like they can speak up in a safe space. So creating a group just for them enables that to happen probably more easily than if they're part of the wider group. I think that probably is true in what people have been saying to us.
And I call it the unsung things of parents and caring, right? So I think carers as a whole are completely unsung, as in nobody talks in the office about their stresses and strains about being a carer of the elderly. Historically, dads wouldn't be talking about how it feels to be a parent. The unsung things. So we have a care. You tend to have a chat to encourage the discussion about the unsung things. So there's a carers chat in there. There is a shared parental leave chat. There is a dad's chat. There is a neurodiversity chat, which helps those things start to get talked about. We have a phrase that Elliot told me once, and he uses all the time: parent out loud, do it out loud. And we've expanded that at Aon to say caring out loud, so which covers all bases, really. Do it out loud, and it's those unsung things which really cause people a lot of pain, and they end up struggling alone unless you talk about it, unless you ask them about it. So
I think it goes back to your point of just start it. So just start a chat, however small it might feel, on a platform is right, and then. With the Aon example, these subgroups come out of that organically because of the conversations people are having.
Yes.
And everyone's aware of those conversations. Everyone's listening. Everyone's hearing those conversations. Then you can then say, right, this needs a group of its own. And that becomes something in its own right.
Yeah. Because, you might get someone in the dads at Aon saying something about shared parental leave. And I say, we've actually got an entire shared parental leave chat. If you want to go into that one, you can ask all your questions, because there'll be people that have done it before, people that want to know the answers. And that saves, I guess, the 100 dads in the dads chat that aren't interested in shared parental leave at that moment in time, seeing all the detail of that, but they know where to go if they are interested, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it can make the chat a bit more efficient in a way, and help meet people's needs a bit more efficiently. Yeah.
Yeah. But we listen to, I think, listen to feedback, aren't you? So it's just, it's natural feedback that's there.
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't feel like that, I suppose. Maybe it does, because you're obviously running these things. But it feels like the onus has taken off you a bit, because you're listening to what people need and it's happening organically.
Yeah.
Rather than feel like you have to have a plan and a structure to get these things underway. Which leads me to another question. How planned and structured are you in these committees and networks?
Well, we try and have an annual plan at the start of the year. So we want to have a kind of a calendar of awareness days and weeks and things. Things like International Women's Day, International Men's Day, Carers Week, all the things that are publicised. We want to have a calendar of that. And we also, and as a committee, we kind of have a start of year meeting to say, what is the plan for the year? And what are we going to try and do when? We have newsletters as well, quarterly, that are issued to the members of the parents and carers. So, you know, part of being is the chat, an extension of the basic WhatsApp or Teams chat would be to have then an emailing list for things to be sent to. Probably most companies are like Aon would say, you can't just willy-nilly email what you like to everybody in the company. So by people joining these groups almost gives permission to receive the stuff that you want to produce. We do have a planning meeting at the start of the year. There are regular committee meetings during the year to touch base on how we're doing and to sort of talk about any new ideas. In the Insurance Families Network, we do something the same, probably a bit more formal. We come up with a mission, you know, of what we want to achieve. Or actually, in the Insurance Families Network, aligning that to United Nations sustainability goals. So things like gender equality and equal opportunities for all make sense for us as an industry network to try and tie in what we're doing for parents and carers and mums and dads with those goals. So yeah, we're even more structured with our planning and objectives in the industry-wide group. Yeah.
That's something you'd also advise then to, again, people who might be thinking about doing this, is structure helps.
I think so. Structure helps. It is difficult on top of your day job, so you want to try and give it a structure without pressure, because it might be that people haven't had time, but it doesn't mean that they won't in the next quarter or the next month. So I think it's good, always good to purpose, isn't it? Set your purpose and then track how you're going through the year. But don't, you know, if you're worried about achieving it, then set the bar a bit lower. You know, don't set monthly events, for example, as your target. Set 6 monthly to start with. And you'll watch it grow, and as more people join, your committee might grow, and then you've got more hands on deck to make next year's plan a little bit bigger, maybe.
And easier.
Yeah.
For you as an individual contributor.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So before we wrap up today then, Tim, what are your top tips, insights, closing remarks, again, for anyone who might need a bit of support in getting these things up and running?
Okay. Well, find someone else who wants to be involved as well. So it's not just one person starting it. 3, 4, 5, 6 people, form the group that way and start having conversations and see how you feel as a small group, and then tell everybody about a success story for the last month. We've set this group up and it's been going really well. Do you want to join? So that would be, I think, my tip number one. Number two would be inclusive. So if you know, well, for a start, make sure you've got dads in there as well as mums. Mm-hmm. Like that's one inclusive thing. So men and women. But if you know anyone who's in a special situation, like in a same-sex couple, for example, and they've adopted a child or they've gone through surrogacy process, like that would be a good person to have in there for a completely different perspective. Mm-hmm. So, and if you've got from people from different ethnic backgrounds, like just make it as diverse as you can in, like with anything, you'll have better outcome because you'll have a better range of thinking.
Yeah.
So that's top tip number two. I guess top tip number three is try not to shoot the lights out on day one. So make your plans, but make them really achievable and simple. Don't try to do anything too onerous in the first 6 months or a year, and it will grow because people do have these needs and they will be pleasantly surprised that there's this source of support that their company wants to give them.
And as you said, you know, more support like that equals happier employees.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely.
Better productivity.
I'm an example of one. Yeah.
Yeah, living and breathing. It's true. It's absolutely true. The support does reap rewards in all kinds of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Tim. Thank you for sharing. As obviously you have a successful network. So all of your tips, insights, I'm sure will resonate with people who are looking to start up something very similar. Good luck at this year's Working Dads Awards.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah,
I will see you there in a few weeks' time.
Yeah.
And take care and keep doing the good work. And well done, because it's really, really important thing you're all doing. So thank you.
Appreciate it, Aisha. And thanks for connecting and inviting me to come on. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Most welcome. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Parent Equation Culture Shift podcast. To find out more about me, head to aishamurray.com. And to find out more about Elliot, head to musicfootballfatherhood.com. And please remember to like, leave a rating or a review.